You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
You have helped us to begin to think back to those days when Jesus was born. You know, there are a lot of reminders around us at this time of year. We read the Scripture. We see the nativity scenes that are constructed all around that reminds us of that time in Bethlehem long ago. We sing the Christmas carols that help to remind us of what took place. But you know, it took place so long ago that none of us were there to actually see it. Wouldn't it be interesting to have someone who is actually there to come and talk about what he saw on those days? Well, here at Southwestern Seminary, we actually have someone who was there at that time that's come to be with us today. And, well, I could say a lot about him, but probably the best way is just to read from the Scripture, which talks about him. And here's the passage that speaks of him. In Luke 2, it says, "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And so they came to present him to the Lord and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Would you welcome to the Southwestern Seminary Chapel, Simeon?
Yes, I am Simeon. It is as he said. For the last 94 years, prior to the events that I will share with you today, I was a citizen of the most beautiful and holy city in all of the world, the city of Jerusalem. As a citizen of that city, I had the opportunity to go every day of my life when I was not ill and appear in the temple before the Lord. The temple was a magnificent structure. I wish you could have seen it in its beauty. And yet I confess to you that for all of the magnificence of the temple, there was nothing there at all that would compare with the magnificence of the God that I had the opportunity to meet there on a regular basis. But I'm ahead of my story. During those 94 years, Jerusalem was also an unusual place. You might even say a strange place. You see, The Babylonian captivity had cured our people from their idolatry. When they came back, they no more worshipped idols, but unfortunately, neither did they particularly seek the face of God. No, ritualism and what you would call today legalism took over among our people, and neither was intended for evil because the rituals of the temple were themselves designed to call our attention to certain truths about God. And in addition to that, the legalism, while unfortunate in the way that it played itself out, even that was designed to hold a moral and ethical standard because, after all, our God was a moral and ethical God, was he not? And so it was tragic in a way to see what happened to our people. I lived in a period that I understand you Christians refer to as the silent years, by which they mean that there was no direct revelation from God in those days, from the close of Malachi's prophecy until the coming of John the Baptist. It is felt by many that God did not speak, but you should not be misled by that, for God did speak. To those of us who sought his face, God still spoke. And I remember, for example, when I was 85. Oh dear, I think it was 85, but at my age you forget most things. It was about 85 years of age that I walked to the temple, as was my custom one morning. And arriving at the temple, my heart was heavy, because along the way, as I walked to the temple, I saw our people busy with this and busy with that, involved over here and involved over there, and forgetting altogether that they were the chosen people of God, that God had chosen for a reason. It was gone from their minds altogether. My heart was heavy, but I went to my usual place, walking through the court of the women, and arriving in the court of Israel, I stood there for just a moment and looked at the beauty of the temple, and then passing on beyond it, I came to my private place where very few people went, and I stood there and prayed. But as I prayed, my heart was still heavy. It was about that moment that I spotted a dear friend of mine who was a scribe. He always had such a grasp of the Torah and the Word of the Lord, and I could always count on him to point me to something that would assist me in some way. And so I walked to him and I addressed him and said, "Is there a word from God today?" And he said, "Simeon, you seem to be with a heavy heart this day." And I thought, how can you tell? But he was right, and I could not protest it. He said, "Instead of the Torah today, I want you to read a prophet of God." And he handed me the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. Across the years, I had read Isaiah before. I had read it all before. But for some reason that day, as I read Isaiah, it was as though the words of Isaiah the prophet thundered in my ears. I could see them written on the scroll before me, but it was more than that. I tell you, more than that. It was more. It was as though God spoke through the prophet. And as I listened, suddenly I knew that I was not alone. You've had the feeling before, I'm sure. I just knew that I was not alone, and I looked to see who was there, and there was only one worshiper some distance away, and he was clearly unconcerned with me, and intuitively I looked up. And it was then that I felt God speak. You will notice that I did not say I heard God speak. It was far more profound than that. When God speaks in such a way that you do not hear Him, but you feel Him speak, you cannot avoid the impression that it makes. Simeon, he said, you are an old man. That was obvious. He said, all of these years you have faithfully served me. He said, what was it that you were reading from the prophet? And I said, Lord, I was reading from the prophet about the birth of a child. Unto you, unto us, a child is given, unto you a son is born. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And my heart warmed as I read those words. He said, Simeon, you long to see the Messiah, do you not? What man in Israel was there who did not long to see the Messiah? And it was as though God could read my thoughts. And he said, yes, but Simeon, you have served me in justice and a longing to see the Messiah. And I have a word for you today. You shall not die until you see the Lord's Christ. He said, Simeon, before long you must come home to be with me. But before you die, you will see the Lord's Christ. Well, I may have been an old man, but I will tell you the truth. I walked home that day with life in my step that I had not had for a long time. Oh, I would see the Messiah. What everyone longed to do, I would see the Messiah. But the days passed and they became weeks, and the weeks rolled by and they became months, and the months went by and they became years. I went regularly to the temple. I sought the face of God. I served Him to the very best of my ability. But there was no further communication of that kind at all. And I can be forgiven, maybe. I thought that maybe it was a dream. Maybe it had not really happened. I knew I couldn't live much longer, and I could feel in my bones the approach of death. And I wondered, went to bed one night and woke up early in the morning, attempted to get out of bed, and it was as though the bedding clutched after me and tried to hold me there and would not let me go. And I knew that I could not be long in the world. And then suddenly, I was not alone. And I knew no one else was in the house. I have two sons that have a business of their own and live far away in Corinth, and have a daughter in Alexandria, but no one anywhere else around, and only my pet goat in the house with me. And I looked to her, and it was obvious, an expression on her face that she knew we were not alone also. I knew to wait. Before long, I felt the voice of God again. Simeon, he said, I promised you would see the Lord's Christ. Simeon, the day has come. Simeon, go to the temple. Today you will see Messiah. I must have been a funny sight. I only half dressed, and the rest of the way to the temple, I was still trying to get my clothes on. I passed an old friend who said, "Simeon, sit with me. I have imported pomegranate juice and I have heated it, and it is from Persia. It is the best there is." And I said, "Not today. Under normal circumstances, yes, but not today. I dare not miss the temple." And so I made my way up into the temple, only to think, as soon as I walked into its precincts, what am I to look for? Am I to look for Messiah as he rides in on a beautiful stallion? Am I to look for the Messiah as a teenage boy? What is it that I am to look for? I do not know. People were coming, people were going. How would I know when Messiah came? And suddenly, I was not alone. And I waited, and I waited. And God said, in a few moments, a young couple with the look of poverty will approach you with the baby in their arms. The little baby that they bring is God's Messiah. And I remembered the text from Isaiah, "Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born." I waited, I am sure, only for a few moments, but it seemed to me that the passing of the years was taking place. How long before they would come? And suddenly, from the side where I had not observed them before, they began to approach. And I approached them and extended my arms. Mary, the mother, as I found out later, looked amazed, and Joseph, the supposed father, hardly knew what to do. But when they saw my arms extended, it was as though some voice spoke to them also, and they did something that I'm certain under normal circumstances they would never have done. They extended the little baby and placed him in my arms. I looked into the face of the Messiah. With my own tears, I bathed the face of God. And I held him and recalled again the words of Isaiah, "Unto us a child is given, to us a son is born." And can you believe this little baby, the government will be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be no end? I could scarcely believe the mercies of God. And his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God. Can you think of it? The little baby in my arms, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father, and oh, how much our people needed it. The Prince of Peace, the Tsar Shalom. I never wanted the moment to end. I could simply have stood there forever and held the little baby, though I was many years from accustomed to handling a baby. But Mary and Joseph seemed eager to get on with their activities, and I knew why they had come to do according to the law for the little baby. And so there was no other choice except reluctantly to return the baby to them. I stood and watched as they walked away. My heart was full to a degree that I cannot begin to describe to you today. It was as though God had made a special visitation to me, and I suppose indeed He had. And it was as though nothing else anymore mattered. Nothing that I had felt was important anymore. Nothing I had lived for other than Him mattered anymore. My life was changed. In the evening, it was time to return home, and I did so. And I remember going about my activities in my small home that evening until it came time to rest, and I realized how tired that I really was. But before I slept, I would kneel before the Lord God and thank Him for what had happened. I suppose the neighbors found my dead body in that position sometime during the next day or two. All I remember was thanking God again and again for the Messiah, the Son of God, who would be known as Jesus of Nazareth. And then suddenly, I was not alone. And I found myself in the presence of God in heaven. And I remember thanking Him for the first time face to face that I had lived to see the Lord's Messiah, the Christmas I always remember.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.